Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. The title of today's message is Giving Which Pleases God. And we're all set. Let's all stand. And if you want to read the screen behind me, you can follow along with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberty. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gifts and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And not only as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Thank you. Let's be seated.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Talk about this important scripture. A story is told of a fellow who was working for a fundraising outfit. He was the operator who answered the telephone, and he prided himself on his professionalism and how he handled people gracefully. In any event, he gets a phone call one day. The fellow gets on the phone, and he says, I'd like to talk to the idiot that runs your organization. And the operator said, well, sir, it'll be difficult for me to pass you on to the president of the company unless you first change your attitude. Give him the proper title and the proper attitude, and I'll be happy to put him on the other line. The gentleman said, no, I want to talk to the idiot that runs your organization, and I want to talk to him now. And the operator said, sir, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You need to clean up your attitude first, and then I'd be happy to pass it on to the president. Who are you? And the gentleman said, well, I want you to know that I'm a wealthy man. I really like the work that your organization does, and I'd like to give the organization $1 million, but first I need to talk to the idiot that runs your organization. And the operator said, well, there the idiot is right now. Let me put him on the line for you. We as people are easily, we give for the wrong reasons sometimes. We receive money for the wrong reasons sometimes. And we want to make sure that we give in a way that pleases the Lord, just like anything else. What are the qualities of a person who gives in such a way that it pleases the Lord? What are the qualities of a person who has the right heart attitude when he or she gives? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, we see the qualities of giving that pleases our God. And I invite you to open your Bibles, your cell phones, whatever you got there, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Before we go, let me just come right out and say, I've been doing the teaching, preaching thing for a while. My experience has been, if you teach the Bible when it comes to giving, nobody has a problem. It's when you say what man says that you have a problem with giving. So sit back, relax, and let's see what God says. We're going to follow God's word very closely, and I think we'll be just fine. Number one, the first quality of a person who gives in such a way that it pleases the Lord, such giving is supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, the word brethren, brothers in the Lord, he's getting ready to talk about something that's sensitive, so he refers to them as brothers. And them here is the church in Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia. Paul is going to talk about the giving of the churches of Macedonia. That would be the church of Thessalonica, the church in Philippi, the church in Berea. They're all wonderful churches, so it shouldn't be surprised that they gave in such a way that pleased Paul and pleased the Lord. And in order to motivate the church of Corinth to give the right with the right heart, he refers to the example of the church of Macedonia. And he says, brethren, my brothers, as he gets ready to go down a sensitive path, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice that he refers to giving as the grace of God. Something that God worked in the heart of the people, the believers in Macedonia. And we know that God's grace is anything that he gives us that we don't earn or deserve. And it's more than just salvation. The Bible refers to God's grace in a number of different ways. For instance, in Romans chapter 12, Paul is listing the spiritual gifts that a believer might receive. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. He refers to spiritual gifts as, quote unquote, the grace that is given to us. Paul refers to his ministry that he received from God as the gift of grace given to me. In other words, I shouldn't be an apostle. I was killing people in the church, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Giving that pleases God starts with God. Anything that we do or say that pleases God starts with God's work in our heart. We can't conjure up the right heart attitude to do anything, and that includes giving. In Exodus 35, I realize that it's not in your outline, but let's turn to Exodus 35, verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. The children of Israel gave, and they gave when their hearts were stirred, when their spirit was willing. And guess who did the stirring? It's God. Giving that pleases God starts with God. He stirs the heart. He puts the burden on the heart. He makes us willing and desiring to give. And so, when a person gives because they have a heart for a certain missionary, or they have a heart for a certain project, or they have a heart for the local church, God is the one who puts that on our hearts to give. That's giving that pleases God. And everything else follows from that. Every other quality follows from that. The first quality of giving that pleases God, it's supernatural. It starts when God stirs our heart to give. Number two, the second quality is that giving that pleases God is joyful. It's supernatural and it's joyful. Verse 2, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Let's just look at the first part of verse 2. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. The churches in Macedonia, they experience affliction, trials, difficulties, persecution. And even in the midst of their trials, they experience joy. For instance, one of the churches of Macedonia, the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. When the church of Thessalonica received the gospel of Jesus Christ, they received it with great joy, even though they had to receive it also with affliction. Their family and their friends persecuted them, but they were fine with that. By the way, that's supernatural. That's the Spirit of God producing joy in the midst of hardship. And that joy that they had in receiving the gospel despite the afflictions carried over into their giving. They lived their Christian life with joy despite difficulties, and they gave with joy. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly," that is, "Oh, geez, I got to give," "or of necessity," "I got an obligation to give." For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves when we give and we are enjoying giving. That pleases God. And that happens only if God is the one who stirs our heart to give. So we give out of God preparing our heart to give. It's a supernatural work, and that leads to joyful giving. I'm giving because I really want to give. Third quality. Quality number three. It's generous. Giving that pleases God is generous. Verse 2 again. "And their deep poverty abounded or overflowed in the riches of their liberality or generosity." You say, well, if it was generous giving, it must have been a lot. I don't think it was a lot. It says here that they were in deep poverty. And yet, they overflowed with liberality or generosity. They gave in the midst of their deep poverty, and so it probably wasn't a lot of money. But from God's perspective, it was a lot of money. In Mark chapter 12. And that lets us know that the principle that God utilizes, he measures giving based upon the sacrifice made, not based upon the amount given. Upon the sacrifice made, not upon the amount given. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Familiar story, great story, isn't it? "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury." The idea here is he was studying it. "And many who were rich put in much." They put in a lot of money. "Then one poor widow came, and she threw in two mites," which makes a quadrant. One quadrant equals two mites. A mite would be approximately an eighth of a cent. So two mites would be about a quarter of a cent. So just for our purposes, she threw in a penny. She threw in a penny. "So he called his disciples to himself and he said to him," and I bet you they weren't very impressed by the penny, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had." She put in her whole livelihood. She basically was giving from money that she needed for her basic necessities. And my guess is, a penny could buy something back then. Do you remember penny candy? Yeah. It was something. And the church at the churches in Macedonia, they gave, and the money that they gave would have covered some of their basic necessities. Would be a fair way to say it. In Philippians chapter 4. This is what Paul says to the church of Philippi, which is one of the churches in Macedonia. They gave to him and they said, indeed, I have all, I abound, I'm overflowing. I have received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, the gift of money. It's a sweet smelling aroma. It's an acceptable sacrifice that is well pleasing to God because it was generous, given how much you had. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You've supplied my need, and because you gave money that was needed for the necessities of life, at least part of it, now my God's going to supply your need for you supplying my need. So that would be like, I mean, just let's just get perspective. That would be like us having money that we need for electricity and for gas and for a house or a rent payment and say, I'm going to give a portion of that money to such and such a person or to the church or whatever, and I'm going to trust God to meet my need for the rest of it. If you're like me, you give and you know that you've got a reserve for those basic necessities. And I'm just saying that that is not so much that our giving doesn't please God, but that's just how much their giving did please God. It was very generous because they gave way above in total proportion to what they had. We might say it this way. God's arithmetic is different than ours. His arithmetic is different than ours. We would say that the little old widow didn't give a lot. God would say, oh my goodness, she gave a whole lot. So giving that pleases God is generous. And it's only generous because God is the one who stirs us up. It's supernatural. He starts it. He puts a burden on our heart for someone or something or some ministry. And so we give joyfully. We're excited to give because God's the one who stirred it. And we give generously, more, a greater proportion than one would expect. In fact, in verse 3, he says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. So they gave, he says here, according to their ability and beyond their ability. They really shouldn't have given as much as they gave. And I was a little bit concerned about it. Which leads to the fourth quality. The fourth quality of giving that pleases God is it's loving. Giving that pleases God is loving. Verse 4. Imploring us, begging us, pleading with us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. Let's stop right there. This is unusual. They begged me, Timothy and Silas, they begged us that we would receive the amount of gift that we wanted to give. In other words, when Paul heard how much they wanted to give, Paul, Timothy, and Silas said, I think that's a little bit too much. And they begged Paul, Timothy, and Silas to receive it because they wanted to give it. Now, is that a nice change of pace? So it wasn't the pastor pleading with the people to give. It was the people pleading with the pastor to receive the amount they wanted to give. That's what it says. It was loving. It's because they really wanted to give. They saw it as a privilege to give. It was a privilege to give. And it was given out of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The fellowship, the sharing in common to the ministering to the saints. The ministry to the saints here refers to, this was a collection that Paul was taking in the various churches, the Gentile churches, to give to the Jewish brothers in Jerusalem and Judea. They were even more poverty-stricken than the churches in Macedonia. Their need was even greater. And the churches of Macedonia said, hey, this is an opportunity to fellowship, to share in common what we have in common in Christ. More specifically, let's turn to Romans 15. That really uncovers what Paul means here. Romans chapter 15, it's really a beautiful thought. Romans 15, verse 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. He's going to give the gift of money. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution of money for the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem. Now, verse 27. It pleased them indeed, and they gave, and they are debtors. These Gentile churches are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers or sharers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. What's he saying? Paul is saying the churches, the Macedonian churches and the various Gentile churches, they are indebted to the church in Jerusalem, the church in Judea. Why? Well, they're the church that supported and sent out the apostle Paul and the other apostles. And those guys were a spiritual blessing. They wouldn't have come to Christ without that. They wouldn't have grown in the Lord after that. If it wasn't for the Jewish believers in Judea and Jerusalem, they wouldn't be saved. They wouldn't know the Lord. They wouldn't be going to heaven. They wouldn't be enjoying life in Christ. So they feel an indebtedness to give back to the church in Jerusalem. That's the fellowship that he's referring to here. And so they're giving as an expression of love and gratitude to the Lord and to the church in Jerusalem that they were giving towards. Yeah, there's love in the heart when we give in a way that pleases God. Boy, it gets really hard in the digital age, doesn't it? Just slip it right out of the account. Don't even know it's got slipped out of the account. It's kind of nice to write the check and say, okay, I know what I'm doing. Just an opinion. But we do accept digital payment as well. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts out his heart of compassion, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love not only in word and tongue, but also in deed and truth. 1 John 3, 17 and 18 says, yeah, if the heart of compassion is welling up inside us, don't stop it up. Don't plug it up, is what he's saying. Because giving that pleases God comes from a loving heart for a person, for a ministry, for whatever God has laid upon our heart. Now, if we're honest, we don't always do everything out of a loving heart, right? Whether it's singing or giving or serving or whatever. There's all kinds of reasons. A story's told of a pastor, and he was making an offering to the congregation. I'm kind of envisioning it, although the story doesn't go this way. I'm kind of envisioning it on a Sunday night service a number of years ago. And he says, whoever gives the most will have the opportunity to pick three hymns. And we'll sing those hymns. And so they pass the offering plate, and in the plate there's $100 bill. And the pastor's delighted. And he said, Who gave this $100 bill? And a little lady raised her hand shyly. And the pastor said, well, let's say everybody give her a hand and come on up. And she came up to the front, and he thanked her for her generosity. And he said, No, choose your hymns. And she looked out in the congregation, and she saw three of the handsomest guys in the church. And she said, I choose him. Him and him. There's all kinds of reasons. To give. And the hormones are working forever until you go in the grave, right? Oh my. Yes, indeed. Giving that pleases God is supernatural. That's the first quality which leads to joyfulness, which leads to a generosity, which leads to us giving from a loving heart. Finally, and this is kind of assumed, if all this is going on, then the number five, the fifth quality, is certainly in place. Giving that pleases God is consecrated giving. Our hearts are set apart for the task, and we are set apart. Verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, not only did they give as we had hoped, the churches of Macedonia, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Yeah, isn't it good whenever we first give ourselves to the Lord and then we, whatever it is, then we sing and then we preach and then we teach and then we serve and then we give. We give ourselves, Lord, I love you. You created me. You died for me. You saved me. You bless me every day. I give you my mind. I give you my will. I give you my life. And now I give you X number of dollars. That kind of giving, that kind of living pleases God. We give ourselves to the Lord first. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's holy. That's acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or a reasonable act of worship, Romans 12:1 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, it motivates us, it drives us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and who rose again. Yeah, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ, it conquers our hearts. It conquers our hearts. So that our hearts are ready to do whatever it is he wants us to do. Whatever it is. Whether it's giving, whether it's living, whether it's being a mommy, whether it's being a daddy, when it's being a grandpa. In response to his love for us, that's the kind of thing, the kind of giving that he loves when we give of ourselves first. We don't have a wealthy congregation, but we've got a devoted, consecrated group of people. And I believe that when we give, I think our Lord is pleased. I think our Lord is pleased. We don't have a country club mentality here. We don't have a country club here. And that's good. And there's nothing against people having money as long as they give from this kind of heart, right? As long as they give from this kind, it doesn't matter if it's a little or if it's a lot. This kind of heart, this kind of giving is always pleasing to God. And it has a tendency to make us more flexible in our giving, this kind of giving. If there's a need, God works, all this kicks in, shoom, we can give. It prevents us from having cirrhosis of the giver. Cirrhosis of the giver. We don't want cirrhosis of the liver, and we don't want cirrhosis of the giver. And if God's got our hearts are given away that pleases him. Amen? Lord, we thank you for the truths found in your word. The truths found in your word are really the best way to do anything in life, and giving in a way that pleases you shouldn't surprise us that it's from your heart, with your heart working on our hearts. And really, Father, giving is kind of a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual activity. Help us to see it as such, Lord. Help us to see it as something that's more than just a rote, compulsory thing, but as an expression of our love relationship with you. Keep our hearts burning for you, Lord. Keep our hearts hot for you. Because when they are, not only do we give, but we live and we serve in a way that pleases you. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.